Information System Support Branch at the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases, and he'll tell us where we are with immunization information systems.
Thanks, Alan. While we're waiting, oh, already here, before, in order to beat the fire alarm that he has on his phone there, I think I'll just kind of rocket through some of these because one of the advantages of being the third speaker is that some people have already showed my slides, some of my slides. So I have no disclosures. I want to start by saying that registries, immunization information systems, actually were envisioned by many people at the grassroots level and also with our CDC leadership. And I found this slide. The 8th CDC director at the 2nd National Immunization Conference in 1965 observed that, you know, a nationwide computer system could put us well on the road to efficient national follow-up of births for maintenance of immunization levels. And that was in 1965, and here we are 40 years later, and we're almost there. Immunization information systems are computerized systems that record all shots on all children given by all providers in a geopolitical area. And they have features and functions that are needed by an immunization program, such as vaccine inventory management, adverse event reporting, et cetera. And lately, they also have increased interoperability with electronic medical record systems, something that's increasingly important, especially when one considers the presidential vision announced in 2004 for electronic health records. CDC provides annual funding to 56 immunization program grantees, 50 states, Washington, D.C., and 5 large cities. And also, we have 6 Pacific Island countries or territories, plus 2 Caribbean territories, too, Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, to which we provide grantee funding for immunization information system development. Immunization information system development and implementation are a required component for all immunization programs. This is one of 9 or 10 components that's included in grantee funding. And grantees are obligated to use the same technology-neutral functional standards that were developed by the National Vaccine Advisory Committee that Gus mentioned, as well as our immunization program managers. We also have a 2010 objective. I don't call it a Healthy People 2010 objective anymore because we've already achieved that. But the program objective for 2010 is to increase to 95% the proportion of children aged less than 6 years of age who participate in fully operational immunization information systems. Because of the presidential vision in 2004, some folks suggested that we no longer need immunization information systems, and so I want to take a few minutes just to talk about, over the next 8 or 9 slides, just to talk about really what the need for immunization information systems is. And actually, I view immunization information systems as very complementary to the presidential vision of developing electronic health records, and I hope you'll agree after you look at the following slides. As previous speakers have said, we have an increasing population in this country. In 2006, 4.3 million live births in this country. As Dr. Schuchat said, 11,700 births every day. And the Census Bureau reports that between 2006 and 2007, 38.7 million people, 13% of our population, moved in the United States. And most of the time they did that without bringing their immunization records with them. 11.7 million, or roughly 30% of those people that are moving, are less than 19 years of age. I like to use this slide. This is a picture of Wisconsin. This shows patients from Dane County Health Department, that green blob in the bottom of the state, that have gone to some other part of the state. And each one of these dots shows that a patient with at least one immunization from Dane County. And it shows what would happen if you didn't have an electronic system to sort of connect all these dots. You would not have a complete history, vaccination history for that individual patient. So consolidation of immunization histories is one of the main things that immunization registries do. Extra immunization, another cry slide, I guess. A 2000 study published in JAMA found that 1 in 5 U.S. children had received at least one extra dose of vaccine by the age of 19 to 35 months. Annual costs associated with that one extra dose are around $27 million per year. Lately, we have a sentinel. We have some sentinel sites that we fund. There were six of them. There are now eight. But of those six sentinel sites, we have found that extra immunization is now 1 in 10, and hopefully that will be published in the near future. Everyone remembers Hurricane Katrina. During Hurricane Katrina, as many as 60 to 70,000 children were had to leave the area and ended up in various other parts of the country. A Houston-Harris County in Texas immunization registry estimated that the cost offsets by identifying the vaccination histories from the Louisiana registry, which remained operational in Baton Rouge, amounted to about almost $2 million just for the vaccine and $3 million for the vaccine plus administration fee. So that amount of money was saved by not having to revaccinate children because the history could be found in the Louisiana registry. I did an assessment of more than 21,000 electronic information system queries of children and adolescents and found that almost $5 million was saved in revaccination expenses. You've already seen the complexity of the immunization schedule. The complexity of this schedule means that the physician has less and less time to make decisions about whether to immunize or not to immunize the child in front of him or her. And having a computer provide decision support helps a provider make those decisions. Doesn't make it for him or her, but also helps them. You've already seen this slide. The increasing costs of adding vaccines to the schedule means that we have to find a better way to deliver them in an efficient and effective way. And use of computers to help with decision support and to consolidate immunization histories helps to reduce costs associated with delivery. The cost for vaccines now is almost $3 billion that the CDC spends on vaccines. You've already seen this. This shows increasing vaccine costs and budget for vaccine costs, and a relatively flat line for the 317 grant, which is now spent mostly on operational activity. So as the vaccine schedule increases, budget for operational delivery of vaccines has remained pretty much flat. Immunization information systems provide operational support to immunization programs, providers, patients, and parents by automating evidence-based strategies such as linkage with WIC, reminder recall activities, and assessment functions as part of the AFIX activity in VFC, the Vaccines for Children program. It also produces real-time data to ensure that children, adolescents, and adults are protected against vaccine-preventable diseases, and it also assists programs to deploy their resources efficiently and effectively. This is the last point that I want to make about electronic health records and health information systems and really the relevance of immunization information systems in this sort of context. As I've already mentioned, immunization information systems provides relatively sophisticated functionality and decision support. They do deduplication activities to eliminate redundant patients and vaccines in a system. They do reminder recall activities, as I've mentioned, coverage assessment, consolidation of records, vaccine validation, and forecasting of vaccines. Most EHR products or electronic medical record systems have some measure of these activities, but not the level of sophistication that immunization information systems have. In addition, as you'll see in a few minutes, there is statutory support. States have legislation and laws, regulations, which assure support for financial support for immunization information systems. And they also help to ensure the protection of privacy and security. They provide some level of governance, from some level of state and stakeholder governance for these systems. Data is available to just about anybody that is entitled to access of these systems. Health information exchanges are subsidy-based. You have to pay to play, and data access is somewhat limited to just the clinical practices. Immunization information systems, I think someone else said, basically take a vital record, a birth record, because in many instances that's where the first immunization is given to. Hep B is given at birth or within a short period after birth. They create, in essence, a master population index for a geopolitical area. And this tracks children that not only are immunization are immunized, but those who are not immunized, something that's very important to us in public health. Whereas an electronic medical record or an electronic health record has a master patient index, it tracks clinical encounters, not the encounters of people that haven't appeared in their practice. Also, immunization information systems are web-based systems. They're maintained by state and local government. And at the practice level, electronic medical records have to be maintained by the practice. And many practices, as I think Gus said, don't have the money for electronic medical record systems, let alone trying to become database administrators. So now we're on to the status. In the year 2000, in the year 2000, 21% of our population less than 6 years of age had two or more immunizations and was participating in an immunization registry. At the end of 2007, 71%, or 16.5 million children, were participating in immunization information systems. For children 19 to 35 months of age, 66%. Adolescents, 11 to 18 years of age, 64%. And to my surprise, adults older than 19 years of age, 20%, or 45.5 million adults, are involved with registries. Now, I have to admit that many of these adults aged into this age category. They were vaccinated 10 to 15 years ago, ended up in an immunization information system, and are now adults over the age of 19. This is a map, obviously, of the United States, and where is it? There we go. This shows the grantees who have achieved the program objective for 2010 of 95% participation. That's roughly 15 grantees, or 27% of all of our grantees. Another little lesser shade of green. This shows another 15 grantees plus the earlier 15 that have 80% or better participation in the United States. That's 54% of all our grantees. Another shade of lines here, gray, green. This is now up to 40 grantees have 60% or better participation in the United States. And then finally, those red spots, those challenges that have not achieved more than 60% coverage. And these are of particular concern to me because unless I'm able to improve the participation rates in these states, these grantees, I will never achieve 95% participation. And some of them, I should say, perhaps California and certainly New York State, since Dr. Burkett is from New York State, are getting close to that 60%, and by the end of this year, I'm hopeful that there'll be half of these red grantees now will become green grantees. Oh, geez. All right, provider site participation. I'm almost done. Public provider sites participating in a registry was 38% in 2000, and now up to 73%. Private provider site participation was 19% in 2000, now up to 48%. As I mentioned earlier, state legislation, 27 states or 53% authorize an immunization information system. Mandates for reporting are 14 states, and requiring participation or opt out, you're in the registry at birth, unless you opt out, are almost 90% of our grantees. I think I'll skip that. Grantees that, of those grantees that reported at the end of 2007, almost 80% are population-based. On the average, 70% of newborn records are recorded in a grantee within 6 weeks of birth. Almost 90% of grantees receive and process vaccine and other immunization data from their IS within a month of vaccine administration. And of those grantees reporting, 94% have a written confidentiality policy, almost 90% have a written security policy, and 43% use HL7, Health Level 7 messaging standards to process and upload a record. This, I wanted to show, this is a data quality measure. This is the completeness of vaccination histories for a selected group of grantees. There are 19 grantees that all have 80% or better participation of 6-year-olds. It's similar for 19 to 35-month-olds, as you might imagine. And the green line is the NIS, the National Immunization Survey results for 2007. And these are the grantees that we selected. Now, only two or three of them actually have results for 43133 coverage series that's similar to the NIS. You have to keep in mind, though, that the NIS counts all doses. Registries count just valid doses. So there's a somewhat of a difference here. If you consider completing one more dose, then you can see that almost all 19 come very close or and maybe even exceed the NIS coverage. So this is represents a real challenge for us to try to make sure that we have more complete history for more grantees and that make sure that we have good vaccination histories for everyone. Just a very brief, I just want to show you a couple of examples of some GIS that's also used by Immunization Information Systems. This is the City of Philadelphia shows up-to-date, or people who are not up-to-date for DTaP, and the darker areas are those that are not up-to-date. The state of Michigan for 2-year-olds and having at least one dose of MMR, the green areas are the highest immunization coverage areas, and that's it. I think I'll leave time for questions.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much, Gary. We have time for only two questions. Yes.
You were talking about immunization systems for childhood vaccinations. I was wondering if there's a similar push for adult vaccination.
I think, I don't know if I said it or not, but almost 80% of our grantees are lifespan registries. I think I may have skipped over that. So. And I did mention that there are about 45.5 million adults in these systems. And I think as time goes on and more vaccines are for adults are added to the schedule, we will start tracking them as well.
Last question.
I don't know how well suited they are for looking at exemption patterns, but it depends on your state as to whether they have good data for doing research. And some, you know, the ones that I mentioned, the 30 that I mentioned, probably have some good sources of information and may be able to look at exemptions, maybe not. They certainly could look at some racial and ethics disparities, too, in some instances, since we use birth record data.
But they are designed as operational tools rather than research tools. There are also strong confidentiality and access requirements. Gary mentioned that the data are available to any authorized user, but an authorized user is someone who enters into a legal agreement with a registry to protect the information that is there. So there are a number of studies that are underway using information in registries, but it's not something that you can just walk up and get. Thank you very much, Gary.
Okay,
now we're going to turn to a topic that is a very highly publicized topic, and that is the subject of vaccines and autism. We're very fortunate to have Dr. Sharon Humiston with us to talk about this, and I'll just hand the podium over to Sharon. I'll get your slides up.